Man, I cannot believe that it's been 10 years in this building. I'm happy that Sam let you know that, and we were able to praise God for his faithfulness. Time has flown by. With that said, let's take a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your faithfulness, for your kindness, for your generosity, for your provision. We thank you for this place that we can gather to worship you, that we can gather as a family to glorify you. And Father, today, as we dive once again into your word, would you speak to us? Would you, through your word, through your spirit, convict us, encourage us, whatever is needed in each one of our lives, so that you'd be pleased, that you'd be glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Scripture tells us that our words are indicators of what is in our hearts. Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Similar to being able to identify a tree by observing the fruit, you can learn a lot about a person by what they say. The overflow of their heart, uncovering what is inside. I have found this to be most obvious in the honesty of children. And if you spend any time around children, you'll know that often they'll tell you truly what they think. Their words allowing us to hear what their hearts are saying uncovered. Sometimes these things are quite hilarious. And so I found this list of 9 things that kids had to say about love. Let me share them with you. The first, if falling in love is anything like learning how to spell, I don't want to do it. It takes too long. Second, I think you're supposed to get shot with an arrow or something, but the rest of it isn't supposed to be so painful. No one is sure why it happens, but I heard it has something to do with how you smell. That's why perfume and deodorant are so popular. Love is the most important thing in the world, but baseball is pretty good too. Tom, age 5, says, once I'm done with kindergarten, I'm going to find me a wife. Well, one of the people has freckles, so he finds someone else who has freckles too, and that is love. Love, it gives me a headache to think about that stuff. I'm just a kid. I don't need that kind of trouble. Ava, age 8, says, one of you should know how to write a check, because even if you have tons of love, there's still going to be a lot of bills. And finally, I'm not rushing into being in love. I'm finding fourth grade hard enough. These are some of the cute things that kids say. Very little filter and very honest. Their thoughts uncovered, revealing their hearts. But what about when our words reveal sinful things? From a child, these are also easier to recognize. Things like, that's mine. You're not the boss of me. It's not fair. I want it now. And I hate you. Ooh. As we grow into adults, our words still reveal what is in our hearts. But often we cover them with carefully chosen and socially acceptable words. The sinful attitude is still there, but it has been covered. And as we continue our summer series in Proverbs, we're going to see what God has to say about a sin that is sometimes hard to recognize in ourselves, and that is pride. Pride is centering our lives on us, our interests, and our achievements over and above God and others. Sinful pride flies in the face of what Scripture tells us about how we are to treat others. Sinful pride denies the credit to the one who provides for us. Sinful pride steals the authority and glory from God and gives it to us. So together this morning, we will seek to recognize and uncover sinful pride in our lives. We will do this by examining our words, how we speak about ourselves, about God, about others. Because as Scripture says, our words reveal our hearts. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And as you turn there, let's remember that Proverbs is a book of wisdom. King Solomon is the one who is credited with the vast majority, and of course, the entire book inspired by the Holy Spirit. Solomon was the king of the nation of Israel, and during his reign, many came from far off to seek his wisdom, the wisdom that God had given to him. The book of Proverbs is not simply about amassing knowledge or information. Rather, wisdom is seeking things the way that God does. Seeing things the way that God does. The book speaks on a wide variety of topics, including, but not limited to, money, character, politics, discipline, marriage, and child rearing. It speaks on them all in the way of instructing us to live God's way. God instructing us to see and to live his way. As we heard just a few weeks ago, Proverbs 1:5 says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." May that be our goal and desire today. So let's read from Proverbs 16, verses 18 to 19. It says this: "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud." Let's read that again. "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud." The first phrase in verse 18 is a warning against pride. Pride goes before destruction. The sin of pride will hurt us, our relationships, and our relationship with God. It can ruin us. James 4:6 says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." The second phrase uses the word haughty. This means having an attitude of superiority or being arrogant. The verse continues, "A haughty spirit before a fall." When we are arrogant or prideful, there will be a time of once again being brought low. Earlier in the chapter, Proverbs 16, verse 5 says, "Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished." Verse 19 continues and adds on to this condemnation of pride. "It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud." Rather than pride, we're to pursue humility. A lowly spirit refers to being humble. It is better to be humble with the poor. Meaning, even if being humble results in disadvantaged circumstances, that is better for us. Better than what? Better than to divide the spoil with the proud. Better than having wealth, gain, success, if it means that you do so with pride in yourself or with other proud people. Instead of pride, we're to have an attitude of humility. Humility is the opposite of pride. Biblical humility is understanding that your life is to be centered on God, not on yourself. Submitting to His ways, recognizing His authority in all of life. His, not ours. If we are to avoid harm and please the Lord with humility, it is important to examine our lives to see if we are in sinful pride. But sometimes, as we said, as adults, it can be difficult to recognize it in ourselves. We cover it with socially acceptable phrases and words, so we must look closely. So the first place this morning we are going to examine ourselves for sinful pride is how we treat others. How we treat others. A child's unfiltered and uncovered statement of pride in how we treat others might be this: it's not fair. It's not fair. As adults, we don't, well, I guess usually, maybe some of us do, we don't usually yell that. It's not fair. It's not fair. As adults, we use filtered words. We text it or tell it to our friends over a coffee or tea. The situations where this comes up are ones in which another person has received what we believe should be ours. Whether that is a promotion, a prize, the affection of a friend or family member. Sometimes we may even make up a reason why they received what we wanted, and usually that reason is not kind. It's not fair reveals an attitude of pride within us. When we're upset over someone else having something we want, we are saying, they are not as good as me. This shows in us a pride that is leading to a lack of love toward our neighbor. Mark 12:31 proclaims that love that we are supposed to have for others. Speaking of the greatest commandments, Jesus said, the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We cannot obey this command if we are saying, I am better, I am more important, I deserve this, not them. Instead of this prideful attitude, we are instructed in Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4, do nothing, nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Powerful verses. To be a part of the church, to be a part of the body of Christ, we are to do nothing out of vain conceit. Vain conceit refers to having a high view of yourself. Vain conceit pursues personal glory and praise. Sinful pride causing you to treat others as lesser than yourself. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. One of my favorite stories to illustrate the destruction of pride is that of a minister, a Boy Scout, and a technology expert. And I know that any story that starts out like this is probably bad news for the minister. All right? So we'll see. All three, the story goes, were riding in a small plane when the plane developed mechanical trouble, and they knew that plane was going down. Four people, including the pilot, were on the plane, but there were only three parachutes. The pilot said, you know what, guys? I'm married, I have kids, and they need me. So he grabbed one of the parachutes and jumped out to safety. The tech expert said, the whole world needs me. I'm the smartest man in the world. I deserve a parachute. So he too jumped out of the plane. Remember, three parachutes. Two people gone already and two left. The minister said to the Boy Scout, son, I've lived a full long life. I've had so many wonderful experiences. You've got a whole life to live. You take the last parachute. I'll go down with the plane. The Boy Scout said, relax, Reverend. There's still two parachutes left. The smartest man in the world just picked up my backpack and jumped out. The first two men thought a lot of themselves. They would not, as Philippians 2 says, look to the interests of others. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. If we're to pursue humility, our thoughts must never be, it's not fair. This reveals the pride in our heart, our lack of love for others, and the distorted view we have of ourselves. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. The second area of our lives that we must watch for sinful pride is our view of God's provision. We need to uncover pride in our view of what we possess. A child's unfiltered and uncovered words might be, mine, mine. The grown-up version of this says, whatever I have, it belongs to me. I have the right to it. I have provided for myself, so no one else gets to tell me what to do. I worked hard for this thing. Everything I possess, I provided. Are we guilty of seeing all that God has given to us and having the sinful pride to say that we have provided it for ourselves? That we are the ones who should say how it is spent or used? That is sinful pride. It's not realizing my need. It is being blind to the fact of where your blessing has come from. Your Father in heaven, our gracious, loving provider. We see this prideful attitude in Isaiah chapter 10 in the king of Assyria. Isaiah 10, 12 to 14 says, when the Lord has finished all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, he will punish the speech of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the boastful look in his eyes. For he says, by the strength of my hand, I have done it. And by my wisdom, for I have understanding, I remove the boundaries of peoples and plunder their treasures. Like a bull, I bring down those who sit on thrones. My hand has found like a nest the wealth of the peoples. And as one gathers eggs that have been forsaken, so I have gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved a wing or opened the mouth or chirped. Note the words of this king. By the strength of my hand, he says, I have done it. Those who are in pride claim all credit for themselves. And because they say it is mine, I will not share it. I will not share it with others or recognize the source of this gift, our Heavenly Father, and obey him with how it is used. Jesus instructs us to come to our Heavenly Father in a much different way when he teaches his disciples how to pray in Matthew 6. He teaches the disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We are to recognize every day that God lovingly provides for us, his children. Psalm 50 verse 10 says, every beast of the forest is his, the cattle on 1,000 hills. Acts 17, 24 says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. What an amazing, generous God our Heavenly Father is that he provides for us. Not only materially, but more importantly, God has also provided for our ultimate need, eternal salvation, providing Jesus, the Lamb without blemish, who was crucified, taking the eternal wrath of God for all who would believe, and then rose from the grave in victory. If our mouth is saying mine, or whatever the grown-up version of that is, we need to uncover it. Recognize what it is. Instead, we are to rely on God's provision in humility. Realize that everything we have is a gift from him to be used, as he says, to accomplish his perfect will for his glory, not ours. The third area of our lives that we must watch for sinful pride is our view of God's authority, understanding who is in charge. From a child, their unfiltered and direct statement would sound something like this: you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. The grown-up filtered version of this says, I can do what I want. I can decide what is right for me. I can decide the correct way to live. I don't need any help. Are we guilty of living the way we want and having the recklessness to say that we know best? That we can just do what we think is right in our own eyes? That we know best? That is pride. That is claiming God's authority for ourselves, putting ourselves in his place. But we know, as Scripture tells us, there is only one supreme authority in the universe. There is only one who sets the standard for right or wrong, and it is not you and I, it is God. Listen to some of what Proverbs proclaims about our God, the glorious God of the Bible. First, he founded the earth. Proverbs 3:19-20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. Wow. Proverbs 16:4 tells us that God is sovereign. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Proverbs 15:3 tells us that nothing is hidden from the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Proverbs 21:2 says, God sets right and wrong. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. And Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us, he is the one in whom to put our trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Sinful pride is rejecting God's rightful authority in our lives and usurping it for ourselves. This pride is very dangerous, and it is the root of how we see God's provision and how we treat others. When we don't recognize God's authority, how could we see him as the provider? When we don't recognize God's authority, why would we show love to others at cost to ourselves? So this morning, let's allow this last possible area of sinful pride in our lives to lead us into our application. Our application consists of three questions. The first is this: who is my trust in for eternal salvation? Who is my trust in for eternal salvation? Do you believe this morning that God is in charge? Do you believe that he is the creator and sustainer of the universe? Do you believe that on our own we are separated from God because of our sin and would be eternally condemned to hell without his miraculous intervention? Do you believe that he provided the only way to be saved and forgiven through the substitutionary death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that you are only saved by grace through faith in Jesus? No credit to you. To have a proper view of God, we must, in all humility, answer yes. God did and does all those things for us, undeserving sinners. We have no credit in them. We need God. We recognize that his ways are true and eternal life-giving. We need to say that we have our trust in him alone for eternal salvation. If your answer was no to those questions, then I would humbly, with scriptural support, submit to you that you do not know God, that you are still lost in your sinful pride, and that you need a Savior to change your heart, to open your eyes to these truths, and make you new through his power and grace. Cry out to Jesus to save you before your pride and confidence in yourself condemns you. The way of salvation is open to you through Jesus. But you must throw aside any reliance on what you can do and humbly trust in what he has done. Who is my trust in for eternal salvation? I pray the answer is Jesus alone. The second question: do I understand the authority of God's word? Many, if not most of us here in church today, would say, of course I need God. I believe he is the author of life, the creator. I know that I cannot be saved without faith in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But when a situation comes up where our desires conflict with his word, what do we do? Let me say that again. When a situation comes up where our desires conflict with his word, what do we do? If you do what you want over what he tells us in his word, that is pride, because you're saying, I know better than God. He has given me his word, but I know better. And when you put it like that, it sounds foolish. And it is. And it is. For the Christian, we must understand that God's word is our final authority, and it is sufficient to instruct us in our lives. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." God has sovereignly, graciously, lovingly given to us his word to obey in humility, acknowledging it is from him we must obey. If we claim to be followers of Jesus, we must seek to understand and obey God's word. Jesus says in John 14, 21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." We are to live our lives humbly before God's word. No sinful pride telling us that we know better than the Bible. Do I understand the authority of God's word? I pray the answer is yes. I understand, and I will humbly obey. The third question this morning, whose glory will I live my life for? Whose glory will I live my life for? Each of us has been given one life to live. As followers of God, understanding this, how will I now live? Understanding his gracious provision of salvation, understanding his authority in my life, how will I now live? God's word commands us to do each and everything to please God and to proclaim how great he is to the world. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Even things that you do every day without thinking, do them to the glory of God. In all of life, show how great he is. No credit to us, all glory to God." And I encourage you today to examine your heart. Has sinful pride crept in? Is it in seeing yourself as more important than others? Is it in disregarding God's desires as you use what he has graciously provided for you? Is it in how you decide what is right and wrong? Bowing to our feelings or the whims of culture instead of obeying God. Whatever it is, prayerfully come before God. Ask him to uncover any issues of pride in your heart. And if and when these things come to mind or come out in your words, revealing your heart, confess them to him. Repent of them and go forward seeking to please him. And the beautiful thing is that when the Lord reveals sin in our hearts and we confess and repent, that is a wonderful act of humility that will glorify God and draw you closer to our gracious, forgiving Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, would you help us to come humbly before you, not to be found in pride, not to be thinking that we know best. But Father, we thank you that you know best, that you have given to us your word and your church. Father, let us be faithful to you in all humility, glorifying you in every aspect of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.